John Latimer joins us now. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Heidi. Good morning, everybody. It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And I am presently on Lake Nipigon in Canada, a little bit east and north of Thunder Bay. It's a lovely, lovely area. The lake is huge. It's been described as one of the Great Lakes, potentially would have been the sixth Great Lake. It is 50 or 60 miles across and maybe 70 miles north and south. The west side is a lot of big escarpments, sharp rock faces. The east side is has some of the same. We came up from the little town of Nipigon coming north, and there were lots of just sheer rock faces that were absolutely gorgeous. It's a volcanic dikes that formed millions and millions of years ago, and after the last glaciation, that stuff just stood up to the glaciers, and there are, it's a magnificent area to look at. And for many of you who have probably been maybe around the Lake Superior, it made the trip around Lake Superior. Once you get to Thunder Bay and you start going northeast and then east, you would be familiar with a lot of the rock formations here. There are just absolutely some spectacular, spectacular views here, both on the lake and as you drive to the lake. So fishing has been pretty darn good. We've had a lot of fun doing that. But I've also been really, really interested in the lake itself, and the geology, and, of course, the plants that grow along the shores. And I haven't been ashore yet, but I'm going to be heading inland today or tomorrow and get a chance to kind of look at some things. But what I have seen while doing my fishing, first of all, the lake is so large that it has its own tides, and they can vary by as much as 2 feet in some areas. So it is a very, very big body of water. In the forest, what I've noticed among the trees, it's pretty much what you would see back home with a few exceptions. There are aspens, birch, spruce, balsam, cedar, very few pines. I've seen a few white pines and a few Norway pines, but the skyline is not dominated by large pines, mostly by large white spruce. Down below the spruce, I've found juneberries, red osier dogwoods, speckled alder, lots of different species of willow. It is just a really interesting forest, and I'm looking forward to getting more in tune with it. This juneberries up here, they refer to them as Saskatoons, and they have set their fruit. The ones that I've seen look like they're going to have a pretty good crop. Same is true back home. I've been enjoying looking at the Saskatoons or juneberries at my house. Among the aspens, there are patches where the forest tent caterpillars have just absolutely denuded the trees. And I saw some of that in Minnesota, too. So if you're in the right area, right being sort of an awkward term, perhaps, but you may be seeing the damages done by the forest tent caterpillars. If you're not familiar with it, you're driving along, you're going to see aspens that are pretty much denuded, no leaves, or very, very few leaves. Sometimes there's a hint of green among the aspen branches, but basically the caterpillars have eaten all of the leaves that are available when they are in these big outbreaks. So among the birds that I've seen, loons, herring gulls, red-winged blackbirds and grackles, and surprisingly, very little else. I haven't seen robins. I haven't seen sparrows. They're here. I haven't run across them yet. I haven't heard them calling. No oven birds screaming from the woods that I can hear. Of course, my hearing isn't what it used to be, so I'll have to just expect that they're here. I just haven't heard them yet. Back home in the northern Minnesota, I noticed that this past week, I think last Tuesday or Wednesday, I had my first raspberries in bloom, and they turned out to be about average, just like everything else has been this spring, maybe a day or two later than average, but right near average. Probably you are noticing, if you're driving around northern Minnesota right now, you're probably noticing great clouds of white flowers in the undergrowth, and most of those are blackberries. The raspberry flower never really gets as big or as white. If you look carefully at the raspberry flower, it's kind of a pale green, almost a white, but not at all as bright and bountiful as the blackberries. Blackberries are probably the primary thing in bloom right now in the Grand Rapids area, at least. I had the smooth rose in my yard begin to bloom last Tuesday, and that was 6 days later then it bloomed 25 miles north of my house. I've been working at the spruce site up in the Marcel Experimental Forest, and over that time, I have observed the roses up there blooming every year. They bloom earlier than the roses at my house. And my good friend, Dallas Hudson, a person I'm sure you've heard me refer to before, has noticed the same thing. His smooth roses bloomed a day or two before mine, but almost a week later than the ones that bloomed up at Spruce. And I have no explanation for that. I don't know why the roses further north would bloom before the roses down in the Grand Rapids area, but I do know from personal observations over the years that that is the case, and it seems to be that way just about every year. Nanny berries are done flowering, and they have set fruit. The same is true of the black chokeberry varietal that I have growing in my yard. The wild black chokeberry that grows near my house is just finishing up its bloom, and so it's not yet setting fruit. At least it hadn't before I left down there. I noticed that the blue flag, the wild iris, began to bloom last week, and I haven't seen it yet, but I know that this is also about the time of year that the pinks, they're the little maiden pinks, I think they're called. Bright pink flowers, small, low to the ground, grows out in sandy, sunny areas. They should be blooming right now. I'll check them when I get home, and we'll probably talk about them next week. Final notes from the Grand Rapids area. I was out walking doing some phenology, and I could hear the eagle. The young eagle, the nestling, was crying for food, and just serendipitously, I happened to look up, and here comes one of the parents, mom or dad, with a big chunk of meat in its mouth, and came in and fed Junior, and that quieted him down, or her down, and so they're doing fine. I'm looking forward to the nestling beginning. When he becomes a fledgling, he'll probably turn up in my yard, as they have in the past. They get out and try their wings, and sometimes they just land where they can, and oftentimes that can be at my house. So I'll be watching to see when that occurs, but it shouldn't be too far into the future. It's been a wonderful trip here to Canada, and I'm looking forward to even more time up here. I'll be home next week to bring you another phenology show from the confines of the KAXE studios. But for this week, that's the phenology show. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we'll talk again next week.
John Latimer, what a guy, reporting on the scene from Lake Nipigon in Canada. He described it as could have been one of the Great Lakes. He's enjoying his time there on a boat as he broadcasted this morning. We'd love to hear from you. Where are you camping this year? Where are you boating? You can text 218-326-1234.